It's high noon.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 41 of Foul Play. That is Fantasy Overwatch League play. You are hearing the dulcet tones of Heebie-Jeebie. As always, or at least within the last few weeks, we are back. And we are here to give you all of that sage-like fantasy wisdom that you require for your picks this upcoming week. I am joined, as always, by A-Smith and Teoyama. Why don't you say hi, A-Smith?
Hi. Thank you for being here, and the dulcet tones, I love it.
Yeah, that's true. Of all the dulcet tones, I feel like you two have far more dulcet than I, but Teo, why don't you also say hi?
Hey.
You're hearing him smooth beat.
I'm trying to get
DJ.
Real dulcet.
Welcome back to
Reminded
DJ.
Me like Fat Albert over here.
Oh my god. This right. is that Fantasy Overwatch League hour on 98.4 Jazz.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, we have a few announcements this week that I'm going to run through rather quick. First off, we have no stats for last week of Stage 3. Shed a tear, but you should have expected this by now. It's Blizzard API. I love creating content for this. yeah, so the second announcement is way more exciting than that first one. We mentioned fantasyowl.com last time we recorded, so that was episode 40. This time, we have a lot more information to share with you. One, the system works. Blizzard kind of messed up one time, but other than that, the system is really fun and engaging. I had a blast playing it over the homestand weekend in Atlanta and the stage playoffs. I'm very excited to continue with it. And as a show, I'm very excited to tell you what your opportunities are. So, one, we are going to be having a recurring daily game. So, every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there will be a Foul Play Listeners League that you can join and enter and compete and try to beat yours truly and my other guests here in the daily fantasy game. So, you can play in that for sure. The fun part about that is, if you win one of those days, if you are in the top or multiple, who knows, maybe you're this fantasy wizard that has been hiding within our Discord yet to show their face.
It's unlikely, but...
Unlikely, yeah, we found all of you so far. But if you are and you win one of these matches, we are going to be adding a segment of the show where we are going to be talking about daily fantasy, and we are going to be giving you a shout-out. So if you win one of our daily games, we'll be giving you a shout-out and maybe talking a little bit about the team you built, maybe the key to your success, what drove you ahead of that finish line past other people. So really excited about that. Feel free to enter more than one team in those and really try to get your name on the podcast. And last thing about Fantasy Owl, other than I really do like it, and I really do think you should give it a shot, is that we are going to be the featured game on Fridays. So Foul Play Fridays is now a thing. Throw out the hashtag on Twitter, spread the word. Foul Play Fridays is a big deal. And if you want to truly compete in fantasy, if you want to become a person in society, I need you to go on fantasyowl.com and enter Foul Play Fridays. And yeah, just enter and support. That's like an amazing way you can support us doing the show. Like, I know we don't have a Patreon, we have a Twitter, but like, that is like probably the best way. If you guys want to just contribute to like competing in fantasy games with us in that daily game, that would be awesome. So that is that's an open invitation to be shouted out on our podcast. So come on in. Bring it in. If you want to trash talk us about it, friggin' bring it. I'm Canadian, so I won't do it back. But these other two, they're going to dish it out because they're mean Americans. And they're
That's right. He'll apologize for us.
Yeah, exactly. I'm HR of High Noon Podcast Productions. And I exactly.
Toby Flanderson.
Yeah, my weirdly like regretful spirit animal, the one that I hate is. But is. Oh man, I always got that. People in high school, we'd be like watching Friends, and they'd be like, "Oh, Josh, you're such a Ross." I would go home and cry. I was like, "Wow, I got prescribed the worst character." But anyways, back to Overwatch, quickly refixing those rails. We have a lot of points to discuss, not statistics for last week, however, but we do have other statistics to discuss that are league-wide. Teo, why don't you introduce our first discussion topic and, talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, so the first and most obvious one, the biggest shock, the biggest twist of the year came when they announced that 2-2-2 roll lock was coming to stage 4.
And everyone praised.
Well, not everyone, but everyone.
Yeah, my heart is broken because I miss like the Shanghai triple DPS comps and whatever already. But I'm happy that NYXL cannot play goats anymore. That does me a great pleasure. And for fantasy, you know, 2-2-2 should mean a lot, honestly, because you know Zarya doesn't score as many points as a DPS who's doing a ton of damage and getting a bunch of elims. So it's pretty exciting to see what we're going to end up having. You know, most notably, people are saying there's going to be a return of double sniper and dive comps, which in last season were kind of like giving Widow players and Winston players a ton of points, and Zen players a ton of points, obviously. And then, as he
was a lot of fun to watch,
pretty excited about, there should be some May coming out.
Yeah, excited in terms of watching, not excited for fantasy points. We were having this discussion in the pre-show, and I was trying to think of the worst DPS player that could score fantasy points, and I cannot think of a worse character than Mei. Not even Symmetra. Like, when Symmetra's, like, full amp doing damage, like, you are lasering down targets. I think Symmetra would be a better fantasy points scorer than even Mei would. Mei is pure utility.
Yeah. On the plus side, I think I don't think Mei is going to be a mainstay throughout games. You know, if anything, she'll be used kind of in bunker comps at like certain situational places, and then they'll probably switch off pretty quickly.
Or the mini play is just so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, the breaking bunker option's always, right? Like, there's a Bastion in front of you, just throw up a wall in front of them and then run quickly.
Like, or just, like, throw up the wall underneath the Bastion. They can still do that, right?
That has worked in the past. That is pretty good. And then if Sigma gets dropped into playoffs, then we'll have a shield thrown in the Bastion's face and we'll just all move along. It's fine. Yeah, so A-Smith, why don't you talk to me about a point of 2-2-2 that you are excited for and try to put a fun fantasy twist on it.
I mean, my favorite point is going to be the return of the great DPSs. I mean, going to see...
point that he said, yeah.
Basically, I mean, that's like the most fun point to talk about.
That is the one.
What other points are there? I mean, yes, we're going to have... structure, so that means players can focus on who they're like they no longer have to focus on Zarya and Brigitte and random players that flex, you know, like you can focus on your hit scan and you can focus on projectile DPS and you can focus on main tanks and you know like you focus on your area, and we're going to have more rooted structure. And I like structure. I'm a structure kind of guy. I'm a coach by nature, and so I like to coach structure. This is how we operate. These are how things operate. Who needs creativity when you have structure? Because then you get to see with structure, you get to see more people pop off, and it's going to be a lot more fun. Fantasy points are going to more equalize in a sense, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You're not going to see the ebb and flow of meta changes. You're going to see more streamline, which is kind of what we really want as fantasy players.
You know what? I will agree with you in terms of fantasy points will kind of equalize, but I do not think that will be the case in the DPS category.
It's gonna be like whoever pops off.
Exactly. Character. But I think that we look at the game of Overwatch and we look at like the hero pool distribution. tanks and supports have a very small pool of heroes to learn and adapt, and then, and as we've seen in the past, are most often the linchpin of metas, like, developed around them. But DPS have a very large pool of characters that are well-suited to countering comps. Like, I think that in Stage 4, we will see what develops is, like, a pretty thorough meta line with DPS counter swaps. I don't think you'll see very many tanks swapping to counter the other comp. I don't think you'll see very many supports swapping, like, mid-match to counter another comp. But I do think that, like, 2-2-2 will give, like, a large variety of DPS play. And I think, depending on the team that you're watching and, like, what players they're having, like, face the stage, I think will actually fluctuate a lot in DPS points. But that's just my guess, and I haven't seen scrim results or anything. But, like, from what I've seen, DPS players, this has given them the ability to play a lot of different heroes during a game and not just have to be locked into, like, just playing Widow or just playing Tracer all the time. Like, there are options now because of the other players only being able to select a certain amount. So,
yeah,
them's my thoughts.
You're right in that aspect. It's gonna be, I'm just ready for the fun of it.
Okay,
because for spectator point, it's gonna be a lot, I think it's gonna be a lot better to watch. Less chaos.
Yeah.
I get that. I'm also pretty excited, like, just on the DPS point, like, the skill cap matters now. You know, when you're playing Zarya, so much of it depends on how well your team is doing so that you can win fights. Like, now, like, for players who pop off, like, they'll affect a game. For DPS players who pop off, they'll affect games in a way that they weren't before when they were kind of, you know, playing the Brig or the Zarya, who's more focused on what their team is doing. Whereas, like, you know, like, Carpe can actually carry now. Whereas, like, when he's trying to flank and carry as Zarya, like, the rest of this season, it wasn't working.
Yeah, so, man. Every sport had that. Like I feel like most every major sport has, if you are just carry, you can carry your team to victory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, LeBron can LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, he can just do whatever he wants. Tom Brady can just take over and just dominate. Who cares if the line's even blocking? Tom Brady magically still scores touchdowns. It just happens.
It's true.
You know, like in every sport, you have that, and it's going to be good to see the individual skill of that. It's no longer just if your team succeeds, then you succeed. Kind of deal. It's more as an individual player, and I think that is what helps players build brands and not just teams.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And the thing is, nobody's asking for that to happen every single game, every single map.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see that. Like, but I do think that this gives the ability. Like, listen, that Carpe winnable clip, that did not happen every single game, but, like, when it did, we remembered it, and, like, it was an awesome moment. And so, like, that's what I think 2-2-2 gives the opportunity for, is, like, these incredible moments. Like, you talked about structure and, like, how it's so important, even just the sports in general, is because structure sets expectations. So you start expecting what you're going to see from teams. And then what you love watching sports for is when people defy those expectations and go above them in certain ways. And, like, that is, like, the best viewing experience proven, like, in sports in general. And I think that this format sets it up well for that. So I'm excited for that. In terms of 2-2-2 discussion, there's so much we could talk about heroes that are going to get played, about what roles we think are going to get decent fantasy points. I think they're going to roughly stay the same. I think flex support over main support. I think flex tank over main tank. And I think, like, probably, man, I think DPS will still kind of be at an equilibrium. It kind of depends on who's popping off that stage. But what is interesting is the players you own on your current fantasy teams. And whether you should be worried or not. So let's just take a little bit of time to just rattle off some teams that we think are getting a huge plus from this and why, and maybe a couple of teams that we're worried that will start bringing you in really low points because they're not going to play well. A-Smith, why don't you give me a team that's going to do really well, that you think is going to get a major boon from the 2-2-2 roll lock?
Fusions. I mean, they have Carpe. What?
Just Fusion.
Yeah, Fusion.
Oh, okay.
Not Fusion's like the player.
I thought you, like, Boston was going to pop up. I was like, oh,
No. Okay. No, Fusion, the team. Carpe and EQO were an amazing DPS duo, and they were a very terrible. Okay, maybe not very terrible, but very average-ish, below-ish average you know, GOATS team. And so seeing them return, I think EQO and Carpe are both going to pop off, and who knows, we may see Kib.
Doubt it. And we may see him in the flex tank spot. There's been rumors that like that's maybe what Kib was signed on for, but we don't know. But potentially
we'll see. All right,
that's true. I think Fusion's a really good pick. Like, it just makes a lot of sense. The major stage finals, I think Orisa is gonna see a huge spike in play, and Sato was playing a pretty decent Orisa in terms of the playoffs last year. So I think this is a really good pick. EQO's Hanzo is and Pharah are both freaking insane. So
his junk is pretty nasty.
I think it's pretty good, but like
his Pharah is next level.
Yeah.
Genji too. I don't think Genji's gonna see a whole lot of play, but if it did, like
that's awesome. I mean, if we get dive again, you see Tracer Genji dive. I mean, I guess that's possible.
I mean, if your Genji could bench Shadowburn when he was still popular, that's a pretty decent Genji, I'd say.
Yeah.
Team that you think is gonna get a big spike in talent and by comparison, fantasy points.
I didn't hear you for a second there.
Pick a team.
Pick a team. Right. I could have figured that out actually.
Yeah. I probably context could have guessed that. Clues.
I'm gonna go instead of following the DPS rise point. I'm gonna go with the New York Excelsior because they will not be able to go to their GOATs, and I'm just like, I really can't overstate how happy I am about that because watching them and. You know, decide not to play DPS and instead run GOATs over and over again in the stage playoffs was like completely heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah, it was super rough.
I'd be like, I still can't handle it. I'm like sweating, like, you know, whew. But so like, and we saw them last season, even though they choked in the playoffs, like when they run their DPS, they're a good team. They're better when they play their DPS. They're better when they run their 2-2-2 and let Jonak play Zen. Oh, yeah. And you know, Mecco plays D.Va, not having to worry about getting subbed out for a Sombra and then playing Sombra and doing a poor job at it because he's worried about getting subbed out for a different Sombra. Yes. So yeah, I think NYXL is going to get a lot better now that they're forced to, you know, their coaches are forced to not be bazoons.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right, well, I'll take the last one that we have listed, and that's pretty easy. We'll be the London Spitfire, our 2018 league champions. I got a weird text. They are incredibly good. And Profit and Birdring being back on DPS is huge, and I'm super excited to see that. I mean, there's not much to say more. I think Jester getting back to being able to play Orisa, Jester being able to even be on his Winston, I think that he'll be just scoring well again. What's up? Yeah, just not Ryan.
Just not Ryan.
And not within GOATs. Like, that is pretty huge. Yeah. But, I mean, frick. Bedosin and Fury, I think, are going to score an insane amount of points. I think every London player I would be confident fielding. I'm very excited for a new London.
Quartermain?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I think this might mean the end of Guard. I don't think Guard's getting any play this stage.
Yeah. I hope not.
I
graded Birdring got benched last season, so.
Oh, my God.
You never know.
We'll see about that. They should definitely get an uptick. Just being forced again, you know, to let their DPS shine is going to do favors for them.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
Okay, Asmith, do you want to hit up the second topic?
I will. Teams that are going to struggle. Teams that this stage, the 2-2-2, will hurt. I'll kick it off because you see teams like the Titans as a dominant GOATS team. And I mean, to be fair, they've literally lost one regular season match. So it's hard to say like, okay, but a lot of people are really doubting how their DPS play is going to be. I'm actually not one of those doubters because I've seen Haskell and I've seen Stitch play. And when they are on point, they are ridiculous. So I'm not as worried. Now, I'm not sure how the rest of the team's going to line up, but I do know their DPS are both top tier DPS. I don't know if Haskell's going to be continuing his MVP push going to DPS. I do know he has a god tier Genji, but I haven't really seen much of his other stuff because I've literally seen GOATs for way too long. So, but it's going to be very interesting how this works. But it's a team that really a major meta shift could hurt, because they have Stitch, Haskell, and is Somensu, is he a DPS or is he just Zarya?
Yeah, he's a DPS.
Is he?
But he feels like he's just a Zarya. So yeah, it's not really clear how McCree their DPS lineup's going to shake out. Yeah, his McCree's supposed to be nasty. Yeah,
I think Stitch's McCree's probably better.
It's very possible that they'll go from being unbeatable to a little bit more beatable.
You're seeing cracks in the armor at the end of this stage. So.
Yeah, and that's when they had when they struggled with mirroring DPS comps. So it'll be interesting to see, since they've been dominant on GOATs for so long.
Yeah,
you know, we'll have to see how they adapt to, you know, getting back to DPS.
Yeah,
sure.
It's true. All right. Sure.
What's next?
I'll take the next one. I think hunters are going to be brought down a peg. I think that they are going to have to face what the rest of what they've been trying to do is what the rest of the league finally gets to do. And I don't know if their mechanical skill is really enough to push them ahead of what the rest of the league has. I think Chengdu hunters are going to be, jeez, I think they're going to lose quite a few games to the next stage. And I wouldn't be super confident playing anybody but their DPS.
Wrecking Ball.
Yeah, and they've got a bunch of different DPS players, so it'll be interesting to see who who ends up getting consistent playing time for
them.
That's
true. Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time seeing Jinmu being taken out of the lineup.
He's the only projectile one, right?
Yes.
As I believe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's Ying Zhilong, and who's their other?
Bacon Jack.
And see, Bacon Jack seems like a mostly a tracer.
Yeah. And Ashe, ironically.
Some sniper. Some Widow.
Yeah, some of that, but he seems more... Because I think Yang Zhilong is just a better hit scan in general, just not on tracer. And so if we're running a hit scan that's not tracer, then I think you see Yang Zhilong. Yeah. If it's a tracer, then you probably see Bacon Jack. Other than that... I think you're probably going to see a lot more Yang Zhilong because he really does have god tier aim.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And then just, you know, going off of that and that, you know, questions about their DPS, I think the third team who we could expect to struggle would be the San Francisco Shock. And similar to the Titans, where they're not, you know, they're not going to be a bottom tier team, obviously, but they might go from seeming like, you know, an unbeatable team to a more beatable team. And that's, I think, you know, we saw in the stage playoffs when they tried to run, Striker and Architect. Those guys are obviously rusty, and you do get stage rusty.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how their DPS lineup shakes out. Mm-hmm. And I think early on, you know, they're blessed. They have a tremendous amount of DPS depth.
Ah, yes.
Striker's an incredible tracer, great Widow.
Is he a great Widow?
I like his Widow. He's not
I think Architect's better.
I did go incredible to great, you know, so I was saying his Widow is not as good as his tracer. He's definitely a tier one tracer.
Okay.
But Architect is nasty as well, and like, you know, Sinatra obviously has been making his money on Zarya, and he hasn't really shown us too much on other heroes, so we'll have to see if he gets subbed out.
Yeah,
it would be funny to see if, like, on King, maps like King's Row, they play Sinatra at flex tank, you know?
As a Zarya player?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're going to have some weird things to work out, given their...
It's true.
I think Choi is so good.
On their roster. I don't know if I would ever consider taking Choi off the stage. Like, that seems...
When's the last time you saw his Zarya?
Well, yeah.
I have no idea.
Many moons.
Is D.Va in every single comp? Like is D.Va?
I think Roadhog's coming up in a huge way.
Roadhog's coming back up, and now that King's Row is added to the map pool, I think.
The crazy thing is,
still get to see Zarya. Yeah.
The crazy thing is, it's not going to be solo support with Roadhog anymore. Like, where your flex support's going to Roadhog, because it's 2-2 roll lock. So now one of your tanks is at the take it, which I love for London, by the way, because Fury's Roadhog is nasty, like every character he touches, but his Roadhog is super good, and I love Fury. I think Fury is
we noticed.
Yep. That's great.
He's the man.
Anyway, cool. So let's go into some of the roster changes. A lot of shakeups. The deadline happened before stage four, so we have some shakeups. I'd say let's just hit the players. That means the most to fantasy. And we can say if they make any difference. So I'll take the first one. Washington Justice have picked up Elivo and Losish from NA contenders for a little bit. They were like dominating on Envy for like this whole start first more than half a season without a map loss. Before that, they were on Angry Titans, did very, very good at the Atlantic Showdown and also just in their normal season. They're an incredible tank duo. You are going to hear a lot about them on the broadcast, I'm sure, in terms of storylines. Like, they've been, like, playing soccer together since they were, like, really, like, little kids or something. Like, this is going to be...
They're, like, BFFs.
Well, it's maybe. Great. At least they've just lived near each other for a really long time.
I mean, BFFs by association.
Exactly.
They've been playing together for so long, mm-hmm. It's almost hard not to be a best friend.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, get ready to see that promo put in your Overwatch League broadcasts every single break. You're going to hear a lot about how good friends these two are.
It's the only thing to talk about when Washington's playing, really.
Yeah, oof, yikes. I actually think Washington's one of the teams that will benefit a lot from 2-2 roll luck. I think... Corey proved that he's like decent at Zarya, but he's proved that he's really incredible at Widow. And I think Widow is going to be just a friggin' linchpin of 2-2. I think if you don't have a good Widow, it's going to be really tough to compete. You're going to feel like you're drowning in a lot of cases. I think Corey's going to do good things there. But I don't think he's like top 5 Widows in the league or anything, but I think he's not bottom 2 Widows in the league. So I do feel like this team's going to move up. This tank line is also obviously very good. I do not see Janice and Sansam starting. I think they are booted out immediately for Elivo and Lulzish. So they'd be free pickups, I'm sure, in your lineups. And I would consider picking up Elivo as a flex tank for your highnoon.gg fantasy games.
Fair enough.
Good call.
Thank you. All right.
Teo, you want to take the next one?
Yeah, I'll do. You know, it was a bit ago, but it's been some time since we've done a pod, given the playoffs, etc., and the week off. But yeah, the Uprising picked up Stellar, formerly of the Defiant, and I'm actually pretty excited for that pickup. I think the Uprising have needed to. They should have been adding DPS, you know, this entire time. And I think Stellar has shown moments, especially on damage dealers as opposed to Brig. So I think this is a good call. At worst, it gives them some depth and, like, you know, some edge in the training room. But at best, I think Stellar can definitely play some minutes for them.
Oh, someone say he's a Stellar player.
Not many. Not many would say that, but some do. His Tracer, I think, is like his mainstay hero, so that is really good that they finally have someone who's like a specialist within that area, which is cool. Rip Asher. The next one, I'll just take quick. Munchkin resigned from Soul Dynasty, so if you have Munchkin, drop him. Get him out of your leagues. Get him out of your lineups. Don't play a 0-point fantasy player. Your turn, Aismith.
Cool. Kib went to the left the Charge, went to the Philadelphia Fusion. I'm not sure if he's playing really. I still can't imagine him to going flex tank over Poco. It just that seems unreasonable. I don't think he's a better like Hanzo or, you know, over EQO. So
yeah, I mean, if he's competing with EQO, then. Yeah, he's not seeing the stage. But...
Well, and he's not. I mean, he's either competing with Carpe or EQO, and I just don't see him better than either of those players. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not watching them scrim, so who knows? But you know, in my mind, he's just there for bench depth, and they had to get they freed Fraggy. So
yep, finally.
Yeah.
And so... speaking of Fraggy, Fraggy and Bishu are on the Guangzhou Charge. That's all you need to know. It means nothing to fantasy.
You don't really think they're gonna play?
No. I think, I don't think they're gonna play, and I don't think they're gonna do anything when they do play.
They're over Rio and Hotba.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't really see it. I think Bishu. Like, when's the last time we saw him performing well?
Freaking Legion. He played incredibly good on their contenders team.
You think so?
I honestly think Bishu is a instant start over.
Wow. Okay.
Over so Hotba.
So I mean, okay. So if Bishu starts, do you think Fraggy starts?
I will say I'm more tempted by Bishu than will ever
agreed,
be by Fraggy.
I
think Fraggy can only play Rein,
and we're going away from the Rein meta.
Yeah, so I don't think Fraggy makes any sense.
I am good at the end of this last
a
stage.
Convinced by this Bishu Legion point. I will rescind my disdain for Bishu, but I will shift it towards Fraggy.
So, okay, blah, blah, blah. The translate thing has been talked to, like, just burned out by this point. I don't think he did that much flippin' translating, but he did a little bit. So that is somewhat important on this mixed roster team. However, I think Hotba's main, like, call was, like, his flexibility. Like, it was incredible,
no,
like,
true.
How good he was at flexing from D.Va to Tracer to Pharah. Like, that was his best.
Granted, he won't have to do that.
That's what I'm saying is it's Bishu's turn. Like, I think
honestly,
that Bishu
the way
be
I saw it is that Bishu, like, that translation, those translation skills mean more in the team environment, you know, when you're scrimming amongst yourselves than they do in the game. But if he is playing well, then they should help in game as well.
Yeah.
It just seems like having somebody like that is a net positive for your team, even if they're not getting stage time, just because they make life easier for everybody around him. Around them.
Yeah, and
I'm
sure
it's a very
Charged
mixed team, so
yeah. Which makes me think that Charge already has translators, but having a player be a translator is like having a peer who can help you with that is a very different dynamic
and a
big positive.
Nero. I mean, it seems like they're committing to having Nero play, which is an American player. So
I think Asombra ends up being very popular. I don't think he will. I think Eileen will be taking that. But I mean, yeah, if Sombra's not a mainstay, which I think there's a non-zero chance that Sombra is a mainstay, but if she's not, then I think Nero is in there for his Junkrat, his Pharah. Like, it's just a very good projectile player. But okay, so big question mark on Bishu. We're not confident on Fraggy. Let's talk about this last one. I'll pick this one up. Izzyaki is now on the Shanghai Dragons, which is kind of ironic timing. The Shanghai wins the stage three final, the last stage finals we'll ever have. Wins stage finals. Really awesome weekend.
Is there no stage four finals?
No, it's the play-in tournament. It's
I didn't realize they were doing that.
7-12 play-in.
Okay, I missed that.
Instead of stage four finals. So, it's the last stage four finals we'll ever have. But anyway, Isiaki, I think, is an amazing Zen player. Obviously, wasn't as good on Ana because Kareev started over him because of it. I think there's a good chance he sees the stage. It's weird timing for him, though, so I'm not sure if the team will be like, actually, we are winning without you, so maybe not. But... yeah, I think if Zen's a mainstay, which I do think he is, in the 2-2-2 meta, then yeah, I think Izzyaki will actually see the stage as a dragon.
I mean, Luffy's good, though.
Yeah.
Like it's super not like good. Luffy's bad.
I think
now they just have two top-tier Zens.
No, it's kind of like, unfair.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, at least it makes their practice room a lot better, too, so...
And I think a couple of other
practice,
a couple other content creators that I've pointed out that like Izzyaki was maybe more of a consistently good Zen compared to Luffy, who was more of performed at really high levels and then at lower levels than consistent in other times. So that's a pretty good person to have at least as a backup, maybe as a mainstay. So we'll see.
Fair.
Okay. Yep. Map changes. Kingsrow and Anubis are back. We'll see some more Pharah Zarya stuff in the mix. We probably won't just see Bunker, so that's neat. But cool. Let's get on to our... Asmith, do you have a thought?
No.
Okay, great.
I mean, I have lots of thoughts, but not...
None important. Okay, let's go to the who do I start section of our games, which, of course, I will give us the rundown of who's playing who. Your teams that play twice are Shanghai, Charge, Philly, Toronto, Houston, Los Angeles Gladiators, London, Chengdu, Seoul, Boston, Vancouver, and Paris. And the teams that only play one game this week are Washington, Florida, San Fran, LA Valiant, Atlanta, Hangzhou, Dallas, and New York. Teo, why don't you take one of our potential five mappers that we think are going to net you those sweet, sweet fantasy points on both formats? I must remind you that map fives will be good for fantasy until the end of time.
Yeah, all right. Correct. All right, I will go for it, and I will take Paris versus Houston.
Okay.
Just because I think it's a it's going to be a weird one. It should be a fun game for both teams. Like, best case scenario, this is a five mapper. We see Soon back on Widow. We see Lynx are playing Widow. We see Dante playing Tracer. We see Soon playing Widow. And then maybe we see some Shadowburn on Genji.
Oh, yes. Really, yes. Bring me Shadowburn Genji.
There's no way. Donnie is better Genji than Shadowburn.
I want Shadowburn Genji.
It's also great Shadowburn to have.
Shadowburn
Pharah. Yeah. Maybe. Oh, Shadowburn.
But Donnie Pharah is so good too.
Nah, Shadowburn Pharah is the OG though. I've never seen anybody shoot rockets from below so well. it just doesn't make sense. But like, anytime another Pharah is above him, he just like rockets them somehow. It's wild. But yeah, so you know, I think there's questions about each of these teams, but there were more questions about them before 2-2-2, and I think it should be a good, evenly contested match between them.
Cool. Okay, yeah, I could easily see it. I think it's a map five. I think it is what we call a slobber knocker in the content creation circles.
Slobber knocker.
Yeah, I think this match is going to last a while, but not because either team is exceptionally good. Acemit, why don't you take another potential map fiver?
I'll take two teams that are exceptionally good. I'll take the Shanghai Dragons, exceptionally good. Wow, still weird to say. Also playing against Vancouver. That's going to be a fun one, man. It's the revenge match. You're going to see some Vancouver in the 2-2-2 format. I think Shanghai gets a little better. Vancouver might get a little worse here. You could see a very, very fun matchup. Yeah. Could be Vancouver's second regular season loss. Oh, don't man. Know if I'd bet for it, but... But it'll be interesting nonetheless, and it has all the makings of the map, the best game of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be a super exciting game. My potential map five is the Charge versus Philly. Speaking of revenge matches, we have one for completely different reasons. I am going to cry if they don't play Fraggy on the Charge. Like, they need to. Fraggy needs
this is the perfect time.
I love Fraggy to get sweet, sweet revenge.
Oh, yeah.
I think Overwatch League is a pretty above-board system. I don't think they've done anything incriminating, but I do think that they are going to pay the Guangzhou Charge thousands of dollars to make sure that Fraggy sees the stage versus the Philadelphia Fusion. I do think...
It's perfect. They can do it on King's Row. Like, you can play Ryan on King's Row. You'll be good. Like, that's a perfect opportunity.
Are you saying Blizzard's going to pay people to do something?
Absolutely what I think
after
is going to happen in this specific situation.
This cutting of you know, cost for everywhere. Laying people off. No, we're going to pay the charge.
Oh, the Fraggy fans, when they come aplenty. I think
the oversized bearded men that are Fraggy fans. I agree.
Yep, and all of them make content for High Noon Podcast. but anyway, I think this match will be good skill-wise, despite I think Happy versus Carpe is going to be a super fun Widow match. That is going to be so cool to follow. I'm excited about that. Maybe we see Kip hit the stage, probably not, but I think this one definitely has tendency to go to map 5. Both of these teams are not known for sweeping their opponents. That is almost unheard of for, I think, both these teams. And being swept by. They're also known to, like, keep things somewhat competitive. So, maybe not Charge. But I do think that this match specifically will be competitive. So, that brings us to our potential uh-ohs for this next week of Overwatch. Hey, Smith, could you give us our first uh-oh match?
And by uh-oh, you mean oof, because I just can't say that.
Sounds like something pretty good doing it, actually.
It sounds like my three-month-old child would say, uh-oh.
Your three-month-old child say uh-oh?
No, he can't.
He's a linguist.
We need that to be a drop. We need that uh-oh. You saying uh-oh like a three-month-old child, that has to be a drop.
All right. There we go. All right, first potential oof, Vancouver versus Florida. Enough said.
Yep. Checks out.
Florida just can't get good no matter what they do.
They rebuild their roster. No help.
No help.
Do you think that Saya Widow versus question mark Widow on Vancouver will be
Stitch?
Enough?
Versus Stitch?
Maybe? Is it going to be Stitch? Or is it Yaman Sue?
It's going to be Stitch.
All right, great. Do you think Saya player versus Stitch will give Florida a map?
Maybe.
I would give this 3-1. I think Florida will take a map.
I'm into it.
But here's the problem. The rest of Florida sucks. So, sure, like, is Scion, Widow...
Okay, well, actually, I think Fate gets an upgrade from 2-2-2. So okay, I think maybe. Florida's, like... upwards. Maybe. I don't think they're beating Vancouver, but I give them a map, A. Smith. Damn it. Give them a map.
I can't give them a map. I just can't.
All right.
That with all the oops possible.
It's not the term anymore, but we will continue. My potential will be London versus Toronto. Toronto, they did rebuild their roster. I do not think that they are going to be gaining a two brilliance resurgence. And I think London is. And I think this is going to be... okay, I'm tentative because London is bad at new metas, which, I mean, this is a new meta forced upon us, but it is a new meta. I'm concerned about that, but I don't think Toronto has the edge to take it over London. I'm not even sure Toronto has any edge at all. I think they're fighting with a baseball bat, and I think that's going to be a 4-0 sweep. Let's go Spitfire, aces high.
Okay, to be fair, London's bad at doing what you expect them to do.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, anytime
so this is like some reverse psychology stuff.
Yeah. All right. That's kind of working for me. And yeah, I'll go with the last uh-oh. I'll talk about London is, bad at new metas, but they were really good at dive. So dive might be the meta here, and they play the Dallas Fuel as well as the Defiant, and I think it's going to be a big oof for the Fuel against London. And there is actually one way in which this is not a major uh-oh.
What's
and
that
way
no
is for Effect to come out of retirement.
Yes.
Back from Korea. He just he descends like with that like blonde, that platinum blonde hair looking like an angel. He just descends center stage and he's just like a new man ready to rock. And he plays Widow, he plays Tracer, he does it all.
I can see it now. Sits down at his computer, puts on his headset, takes a large bite of a Jackbox burger, hands it to Hastro, salutes the audience, and plays Tracer.
And then just dominates.
And then AKM puts on Genji, and we're like, worth the theatrics.
Yeah, Taimo tweets about not getting stage time. Dallas Fuel's in tatters again.
But yeah, seriously, like the last time the Fuel looked good, for me personally, the last time I thought they looked good was when Effect was dominating for them.
Get out of here. Get out of here. We made the playoffs when Effect was retired.
But in Dive, they did not look good without Effect. And the London Spitfire looked good with their current roster in Dive. So if Dive is going to be the meta, if we're going to be able to see any of that, any of those comps, then London Spitfire should demolish them.
Let's talk about Fuel for a second. Is OGE back on stage? Or is it all Trill now? What happens?
I'd say OGE
has to be back. Yeah.
Are you? If they're running Winston, it's got to be OGE.
Yeah.
OGE is a better Winston
ability. Yeah. But do you think that he's gonna be ready to keep playing? Yes. I don't know if this guy's back.
Yeah, he took like 2 weeks off. I feel like he's fine.
He's good.
Dallas can't have burnt
just
out.
Give him
this
a beer before the game. Chill his nerves. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's how we win games. but it
I mean,
is
it's not like
life.
Not like meat sports here, man. It's not like a beer will like true. Destroy you.
Yeah, do they do drug testing in Overwatch League? I'm really curious.
Okay, moving on.
We all know that one player that would fail. Let's do sleepers of the week. Unfortunately, we cannot talk about how amazing our picks did last week because
I won all three rounds.
No stats. Yeah, that's yet to be decided. However,
no, we have New York versus Florida. Let me check. I think Chicago Pion popped off. Give me 1 second.
No.
No. Chicago Pion.
Well, you are investigating the deep, dusty, spiderweb-filled archives of highnoon.gg stats. We're going to move on to the sleepers of the week. Coming up, we obviously can't talk about the last ones because of the reasons I said. But what we should shout out before this, actually, before this segment, we had our fun draft last week of fast food contests. Was easily the closest vote that we've ever had. In terms of foul play, fun draft scores. And Teoyama ended up winning by one vote. So well done, Teo. We all know that your healthy picks somehow made you win in a fantasy food draft.
I hit a mix of things,
crown,
you know?
Here it is. Take my crown.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's so heavy, but it feels so right. Yep. I love it.
And to all of you who didn't vote for me for picking McDonald's, go drown in a bucket.
Hey,
all right.
To be fair,
support time.
I personally, like, my wife was like, make me a Twitter real quick and I will vote for you. And I was like, I can't in good conscience do that because you would never use your Twitter. And it would be on my phone and I would feel like I'm making an account to vote for myself. And it's just not fair.
Yeah, bot accounts. Is that how you won, Teo? Admit it. Admit it to my face.
Hey, that's what,
you bot
did.
Accounts?
What you did.
I paid a couple thousand to the Russians to let me win by one vote. I told them, hey,
every time!
Most of this money is to let me win. The rest of it, use on something good. You know, I want health care for fish. Health care for fish, I told them. Mm-hmm. So
You know who's about to be knocking on your door?
The Russians,
the KGB,
because I didn't.
They wait for no one.
Well, Teo, I'm sad to see you leave the podcast because of your Russian execution upcoming. But before you do, I want you to give us your support sleeper of the week for this upcoming fantasy week.
Yeah. All right. I will. The Russians. I'm trying to think of a Russian support player, but I can't. I think is the only Shadowburn.
Naylor and Lair on it.
Oh yeah, you're right. Oh, he plays main support.
What? No, he doesn't. He plays DPS. He's like their widow player until they got baby.
Oh, I'm thinking of Massa.
He's Finnish.
Yep, that checks out. I'm gonna go with support sleeper of the week, Koma. The Dragons play what? They play the Titans and they play the Dynasty, I think. Mm-hmm. They should be in for a ton of maps this week. And I think if you're going to pick a main support, you want one who has a chance to go to five maps, especially if it's in a tight game with the Titans. So, yeah. Koma feels like a good look.
Cool.
Makes sense.
My support sleeper of the week is Persia because I apparently chose to phone this category in to get my other two big picks. Aim God, I've seen some dark stuff on the web. Aim God, he's gotten involved with those Russian bots, and Boston is benching him on principles that can only be stated as America, and Persia's in. So
okay, to be fair, we know Boston has no morals, so
it's not that
we know their owner.
That's true. But in all honesty, I think Persia has a chance to play. Boston picked him up for some reason. We'll see. I think if there's an Ana meta over top of a Zen meta, maybe we see him. That's why I'm putting him here. Don't put him in your lineup. But if I'm right, then Freaking send me all the McDonald's you can, Blazing Bob. Okay, A-Smith, why don't you give me your last support sleeper of the week?
All right, I'm going to take the last thing, and I'm going to bring it back, guys. We got aid. All right. Getting AIDS up in here.
To be fair, I chose him last week, but okay.
Yeah, but I made the joke.
Okay.
Here's the deal. Toronto actually has a chance here. They're playing Washington this week. Mm-hmm. And this could be the slobber knocker of the crap. And if it is, AID could be getting himself some points here, and we could see an interesting lineup here. I have faith. I mean, okay. They're going to play London after that, and they're going to get stomped. But if they, when they play Washington, if they don't just like crush them, if it's actually a competitive game, AID could get in there.
Okay, cool. I like that pick. I think it's a good. Yep. I think it's a good pick. I think the only chance that it bottoms out terribly is if it goes in the same way of mine and Roki sees play over top of AID for some reason. I don't see it happening, but it could.
Roki's trash. I'm just going to say it.
Okay. Good... Well, this is a podcast of opinions and not of facts, apparently. A-Smith, why don't you give another opinion and choose a tank sleeper of the week?
I'm going to take Gamsu because Shanghai just won. In my heart, I'm a big Gamsu fan. He left Boston, went to Shanghai, and I was a big firm believer of Gamsu back then, last year when he was with mm-hmm. Boston. I'm still a supporter of Gamsu, and Shanghai plays Vancouver and Seoul, so both those games have potential for five mappers, so I really like this option, and we have to have a main tank this year, or this stage, so there it is, Gamsu.
Gamsu it is.
I want to see some Wrecking Ball.
Awesome. What? You like the pick?
Yep.
Teo, give me your sleeper.
Another main tank whose name starts with a G. I'm going to go with the king of season one fantasy Overwatch, and that's a gesture on the London Spitfire. Back in, you know, Winston's lab fantasy, he was, you know, pretty much dominating weeks, even though they counted ultimate, so we got a bit of a leg up. But his Winston and dive is, you know, arguably the league's best. That's when London Spitfires look best. That's when he's looked best. So if that returns this week, I think he should pile up a ton of limbs, and we'll get back to seeing him in his top form.
Mm. Oh man, I almost want to change my pick right now. I'm changing my pick.
Do it, because your pick sucks.
Yep. My pick is yet another G main tank. I am picking Gushue. I think Spark as a whole may be a little bit hindered by the 2-2-2 Rolock. I think that will really? Be... I don't trust their DPS as much as others
Crystal
do.
Godsby?
I don't think Crystal's that good. I think Godsby's really good.
Whoa!
I don't think Crystal's that good.
That's a hot take.
Sure.
that's way hotter than my Roki's trash take.
I think their DPS may be okay. I don't see their support line doing super well in the 2-2-2 Rolock, but I do see their tank line doing extremely well, at least Gushue. I think if Winston's back and he's able to consistently play him... Yeah, Gushue.
Everybody else is going to suck, but Gushue's good. Go.
I think Godsby and Gushue are going to be standouts. I don't think Adora is going to see the stage because I don't think he's that good. I think Godsby is amazing, but I don't think Crystal's that good. I don't even... Who are their supports? Bozzy, right?
Bebe?
No,
Bozzy's a DPS.
Really? Okay. Who even knows him?
I mean, he played Brigitte, so...
Yeah, okay. Bebe, and then who's their main support?
That's a good
question. Exactly. I don't see Spark doing that well, Protoss 2-2 Rolock, but I do see Gushue picking up fantasy points a la LA Valiant despite that. So I would be very confident in starting Gushue in my fantasy lineups this week. Which, let's bring it on down to the DPS category. My sleeper of the week for this one is going to be Striker of the San Francisco Shock. Yes, he had a rough showcase in the stage finals. And it was rough, actually. Like, it wasn't even, like, middling. It was rough. But I think that was the iron it out. Where better to do it than a glorified exhibition match? I think if Striker gets to play Tracer and Widow, that is going to net you an insane amount of fantasy points. I think he is going to be starting over Sinatra. Obviously, that is a gamble when it comes to these heavy DPS lineup teams, but I'm confident in it, and so you should be too, listener. Choose Striker.
Don't do it. Yeah. By the way, there was a perfect joke in there when you were asking who their main support is, because it's IDK.
Oh my god!
The joke was there. The joke was there.
I said. Anyways, all
right. I know, right? All right. Okay. I'm gonna take Soon here because y'all are crazy for gambling on a San Francisco player that we don't even know if is gonna start. I am not a gambling man. I'm taking Soon because Soon was built for 2-2-2. That is what he was built for. He is the hit scan player for, in a 2-2-2 meta. Yes, he's better than Danye. I said it, and I believe it.
Wait,
and
what? He's yeah, but Danye's projectile.
I don't care.
What?
He just wants you to know he's better. Okay,
he's better than Nico.
Who's there? Who's there? Yeah, no, Nico's a projectile.
Yeah, Nico's projectile.
So is Shadowbird. All they have is Soon for hit scan.
Yes,
all right?
No, Soon's in a perfect opportunity. This has to be the return
of Soon. Soon is coming back, and he's playing for freaking France and Paris, and they're going. This is what they paid the money for, and he's going to pop off. They actually have decent games in Houston and Valiant to play. So these could be very, very interesting. I like Soon here. Give me Soon over both your scrubs.
All right.
Yeah, I think that checks out. I think my guy, if he was on the Eternal, would play over Soon, even though he's not French, and that's Architect on the Shock. Sure. The guy is a very talented Widow, a very talented or pretty talented Genji, and a very talented Pharah, and I think all of those characters could get some play this stage, and it would be kind of silly to, like, if they were already thinking about starting him and Striker against the Dragons in the playoffs, then I think there's a very good chance that they both get a ton of play time this stage, and Architect is probably my favorite to get the most play time and do the most with it when he does.
Yeah. Look, if there's a May meta, Rascal is playing 100%. I'm just saying.
Yeah. League best
May. So I'm hard leaning into this May meta. Yeah, I'm loving it more and more we talk about it.
Fair enough. Do you think Baptiste will score really well for main supports? Do you think like Big Goose on Baptiste could like get a lot of fantasy points? That's interesting.
It's gonna be more.
Well, it's more than Lucio, for
Lucio.
Sure. Unless shields don't count as healing done. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, maybe a topic for next week after we see the meta level out a little shields. Bit, which will be fun to talk about. So that
shields
brings
count. Ooh, I like that. Yeah. That's a good. That one's a good. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that brings us to the end of our scheduled programming. Thank you so much for listening to Foul Play. Listen to us three dulcet tone nerds talk about nerd sports and nerd numbers. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to hit us up on Twitter or Discord if you have any questions or any ideas for the show or things you want to hear more. And I cannot emphasize this enough. Join our Fantasy Owl Daily Leagues. We will be in there. I'll be in there every day. I'm sure these guys could manage to take 20 minutes out of their time to do so too. We'll see. Yeah. But for sure, at least one of us will be in there every day in one of the leagues. So join, try to defeat us, the self-proclaimed fantasy kings.
I have expert league championships to back it up.
Sure. I got nothing except my words, so I got to use them. come and join us there. It'll be so much fun to have it. And don't forget, hashtag Foul Play Fridays, tweet about the show and we'll give you a shout out or something. Anyway, thank you so much for hanging out. Thank you, Asmith and Teo, for joining me yet again. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you.
Bye.